We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. For this Thursday, September the 7th, 2023, joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Hi, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
I didn't hear you.
I didn't hear Chris at all.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, Chris.
I'm a bit of a delay.
Is that the story of your life? Or?
Yeah. He's always been a little bit behind.
I got a lot of heart, though. Below average height. I got a lot of things working for me.
Short,
I wear glasses
short,
now.
Short bus?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Start off September 7th with
I'm
a bang.
Sorry. I shouldn't have even said that.
I've done it before.
Yeah, have you done it before?
Yeah. That was a diversity hire.
Okay.
Here. Yeah.
You were diversity hire.
We were a years ahead of the curve. 13 years ago.
You were a diversity hire.
Gracious Fred Jackson reached out and said, hey, we need some.
We need a 5'8".
Oh, man. Listen. I'm
not 5'8 if I have boots on.
I'm just going to say, this is the way I grew up. As long as the attention and focus was on somebody else, it was a good day.
Oh, so we were making, yes. As long as the pack was making fun of somebody else.
Absolutely.
For those that have never seen me in the flesh, in person, I have a lot in common with Zacchaeus. So, built like a hobbit.
So growing up in the Boston area, it was pretty rough.
Well, especially, rough crowd. Yes, but especially with my family. Cousins, my sisters as well, but especially cousins. You just wanted the attention of the pack. You wanted them drawing blood on somebody else and let the howling and the chasing begin. You did not want it on yourself.
Well, you couldn't make the ethnic joke because you're all the same ethnicity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Eddie of spaghetti with meatballs. Meatball eyes.
Put them in the oven and you get French fries.
Right. But you knew the whole sentence.
Oh, yeah.
At least it rhymed.
Good times.
Thank you for joining us, everybody, for the program. Abraham Hamilton III. Our own Abe Hamilton will be with us top of the next hour, so we look forward to visiting with him. He's a constitutional lawyer and a talk show host of his own right here heard each afternoon on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. All right, Chris.
Yes.
Bring forth unto us the news.
Well, we begin with a surprising story out of the
surprising?
Seattle.
Is it really?
It really was surprising. It's a story out of the Seattle area where newly reinstated assistant Bremerton High School football coach Joe Kennedy made the decision yesterday to resign from his newly reinstated position as assistant Bremerton High School football coach. In a story you can find on our website, afn.net, Kennedy cited several reasons for his resignation, including that he needed to take care for an ailing family member out of state. He had been living at one point during this 8-year legal battle in Florida to help take care of an ailing relative, and he wasn't sure if he would even be able to continue coaching. But in a statement obtained by Fox News Digital from First Liberty Institute that included Kennedy's resignation letter, Mr. Kennedy also says the Bremerton School District retaliated against him after he was reinstated. One of our editors at AFN.net by the name of Billy Davis did some digging for us and found that Bremerton School District had apparently put various restrictions on his return to coaching and praying. One example being, they said that he had to wait for 30 minutes after the game to pray on the field, which is what he wanted to do. It's what he went to court for, right? He had to wait 30 minutes. He had to do it as a private citizen.
Didn't go to court to say, I want to wait 30 minutes.
No, he went to court to get his job back.
He went to court to say, after the game, if I want to go to the midfield and pray, kneel and pray, I can.
Correct.
And the court, the Supreme Court ultimately ruled in his favor. Yes, you have the religious freedom to do just that. He did just that on Friday night after he rejoined the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. He was on the show last week, 1 week ago today.
Yes. But what's happened is now he, after one game, he's resigned. He's, I don't know if he's going to move or stay in the state
of
Washington.
Might be going back to Florida.
Without having talked to him about this, maybe he just wanted to bring this to a conclusion. That is, to pray and say we won the First Amendment fight for religious liberty, and now he's going to move on with his life somewhere else, doing something, taking maybe to Florida. But, Fred, you did say these restrictions that the school district put on him really were violated the
– Yes.
The Supreme Court's
The Supreme Court said he had a right,
right
to express his religious beliefs
right.
on the school grounds.
Right.
They added these. You know, I read this document from the Bremerton School Board. This gives you a little idea where their thinking is on all of this. We look forward to moving past the distraction of this nearly 8-year legal battle. That distraction...
Exactly.
This was just a pain for us. This was just a pain for our community. It was a distraction. No, it wasn't. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. If it was just a distraction, you could have settled it, Bremerton yeah. School Board, a long time
ago. Well, and the Supreme Court would never have agreed to hear the case.
Yes.
They don't hear cases that right. are distractions.
Yes.
Right. And so, but basically what the school district is saying was that this First Amendment thing is just really a nuisance.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. the bottom line, the big picture is he won his court case. Mm-hmm. And the court said that people of faith are allowed to express that faith in the public square, even on public grounds. Now, he didn't compel anybody to participate with him. He didn't make the students or the players come onto the field. He didn't do baptisms in the locker room or anything like that. He just simply prayed after a football game by himself. And for that, he was fired. He won his case, and now he's resigned after the first game. Did he speak on this yet, him personally, Coach?
I've not been able to reach him yet, but okay. We are working okay. on that later today.
All right, next story.
I kind of just yeah. toss one thing in here, too, just real really quickly. If it comes to – and we are digging. Mm-hmm. American Family News is right. digging to find a little bit more about this story. If it comes to light and it is definitive evidence that the Bremerton School District retaliated against Coach Kennedy because he won the case, to me this is a disturbing trend.
Yes.
Was it North Carolina? Which state was it where the legislature and the governor had signed – legislation preventing a lot of this trans ideology and transitioning of students, and where there are, I think, 3 school districts that said we're not going to follow mm-hmm. the law. Okay, there is this trend of the left ignoring Supreme Court rulings, ignoring the duly passed laws of the state when it comes in conflict with their ideology. So yeah. this is something to continue to watch.
I think it was Virginia.
Virginia, maybe that was it.
It's Virginia. But also, it is a practice of the Biden administration. Supreme Court ruled against affirmative action. Joe, the Biden administration says, we'll find other ways
yes.
around this. The Supreme Court ruled against Biden having the right to give away millions of dollars pay off student loans. The Biden administration says, we'll find a way around that.
We'll find it. Same thing is true with gun laws, mm-hmm. where what states do is, in parentheses, they say, we know what the Supreme Court has said about the Second Amendment. What we're going to do is we're going to make it too expensive to buy ammunition.
Yeah.
You know, so this is something for us to keep an eye on. The underlying lawless impulse amongst far leftists, not all liberals, I want to make that clear, but far leftists seem intent on negating or ignoring laws that inconvenience their ideology. All right, now I'm done.
Go.
In other news, in another story you can find on our website, AFN.net, Fred posted this information. Prosecutors seeking new indictment for Hunter Biden by the end of September. Federal prosecutors are seeking to bring a new indictment against President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, by the end of this month. That's according to court documents filed yesterday. The exact charges the president's son would face were not immediately clear, but he has been under investigation in Delaware on those gun and tax charges. Fred, is there any indication that the government may come down on hard on Hunter here, or are they going to slap him on the wrist like they wanted to do last time?
You're joking, aren't you?
Yes.
Listen, we have to go back just a few weeks ago when the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, appointed David Weiss to be special counsel. You got to know who David Weiss is. He's a prosecutor in Joe Biden's home state of Delaware. He is a friend of the Biden family. Let's be very clear about this. David Weiss has been the guy who has been, and I'm quotation marks here, investigating Hunter Biden for years now on tax evasion, for years now on getting a gun license and lying about the fact that he didn't have a drug problem. Many people think Mr. Weiss, friend of the Biden family, has been kind of riding this out until the statute of limitations takes effect. You will remember that it was the David Weiss team that went before this, thankfully, Trump-appointed judge. She read the whole plea bargain and said, wait a minute, we're not going to allow this because this exempts Hunter Biden from any penalties.
Would essentially grant him immunity from prosecution.
From any further prosecution. You have to remember what Weiss wanted to do was basically give Hunter Biden on the gun charge, put him in a diversion program so he wouldn't have to go to jail. This is you have to be good for a certain period of time.
Right.
That's basically it. So you got to understand David Weiss is still the guy in charge here. He had to say something along this line yesterday because that Trump-appointed judge gave him basically a month to say, what are you going to do? Now that I'm rejecting your sweetheart deal here, I want to hear from you in about a month what you're going to do.
Tell me what this gun charge is all about. I've heard a little bit about it, but does anybody understand it?
Yeah, he lied on an application to get a gun.
Right.
He lied about not having a drug problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't be a druggie.
Yes.
And buy a gun.
Mm-hmm. You have to fill out a background. Mm-hmm.
If you did that, you would go to jail for a very long time.
Okay. So he
background.
What you're saying is it's what Hunter Biden did was he lied on the gun application form so he could get his gun despite the fact that he had a drug problem that he should have put down on the form. Is that what's happened here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I suspect the Democratic Party, because they're all about gun control, and they are probably going to come out full force, asking that this law be enforced, and it doesn't matter who it is,
right?
The president's son or anybody, because gun violence, because listen, Hunter Biden buys the gun, he has a drug problem, but the gun may get a drug problem. Hanging around Biden and take off on its own and just start shooting
and
people.
And commit gun violence.
Committing gun violence.
Right.
You see how this works?
Yes.
Inanimate objects come to life when they're guns and just start shooting people on their own. And that could happen.
All that's tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. But it points to the hypocrisy of the left in giving a pass to their political favorites. When you fill out these gun forms for the federal background check, you've got to answer questions or you perjure yourself.
Right.
So, like, if I've bought guns before.
So, allegedly, he did that, too. A perjury.
Well, yeah, you have to fill out. So, am I a felon? And if I say no, and I am, that's a federal gun charge.
Yeah.
And this is, and the guy, Hunter Biden, had pictures of himself. I don't know if he was actually smoking crack or doing drugs at the moment the picture was taken.
Right.
But he's holding this gun and waving it around while he's doing drugs.
You know what got me about these pictures that were on the laptop of a, this is a grown man with gray hair in some cases.
Right.
This guy was at least in his 40s when these activities, like, at least in his 40s.
Yeah.
When these illicit, salacious activities took place in his life, and I don't know how long he lived that lifestyle with prostitutes and drugs, drug addiction, and he went to having children out of wedlock with people. I mean, he was an absolute mess. His life was for many years. But I'm just thinking to myself, who wants to record these times in your life of debauchery? Did you plan on showing them to the grandkids one day? You know, when you get to be 90, hey, come look over here at my album.
Yeah.
This is when I was 42, and see the gun there?
Yeah, but you have lived, all of us in this studio have not lived that kind of life. You're looking at it from a whole different perspective of being rational, in control of your life. When the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, the whole context of that is dissipation. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, and which means no restraints. So for those of us here who have never been captured by drugs or alcohol, we look at it from that perspective. We just say, how could you live a life that's completely unrestrained? But that's what happens when you're under the power of an addiction.
Yes, sir. That's straight out of the Bible.
I mean,
and every human being is subject to debauchery.
Right.
Okay. That's what the Bible teaches. Am I right?
Right.
And we're all sinners.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about what goes into the mind of somebody who says, you know, I just want to capture this on video. I want to capture this in a picture for a moment. Let me pose as a 45-year-old man with two prostitutes and a gun. I think this will serve me well somewhere down life's road.
Yeah.
You can make a poster of it or something, Christmas card maybe. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I just don't know what's going on through
a guy's It's like, now, this is what I hear, okay? But these, especially young ladies who start a career with what they call OnlyFans, which is basically pay-per-view. It's not all, I don't think it's all like pornography or pornographic, but it's a lot of it's sexual in nature. I think the same thing, you know, read about on Fox or something, somebody, and I go, why would you have video evidence of your debauchery early in life? What happens if you decide to get a career in accounting and have a husband and have children? Are you not concerned that one day they'll see these things?
Well, you read stories too about people in that kind of industry or movies or films that maybe aren't pornographic but are illicit violence, and actors and actresses, and they say, you know, when they have children, they go, I don't want my kids watching my movies.
Right.
I read that time and time again. I don't want my
like
kids.
Like Madonna. People like Madonna saying, I don't let my kids watch TV.
Right, right. Because I have standards.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch, Ed, how can they watch?
Well, you can watch the live video stream of this program in two ways. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. Click through, and you can watch the live stream of this here program, or you can go to our own streaming platform by going to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and not just the live video stream for this program, but many of the talk radio programs we have will appear like magic at streaming.afa.net.
Next story.
Well, the White House has come out with a claim as to why President Joe Biden just walked off the stage this week during a White House event. It was a Medal of Honor ceremony. There was a veteran standing there. The White House was trying to honor this man. And for some bizarre reason, the President of the United States just walks off in the middle of the program, walks through the crowd to the end of the room.
Now, was it the middle of the program? Was it?
Yeah, it was during. It was like during kind of the pause.
Okay, what it was a Vietnam vet. He was getting a Presidential Medal of Honor.
Yes, sir.
For his courage, the gentleman was. He was in his 80s, about Biden's age.
Yeah.
Biden gives him the award, puts it around his neck, without a mask on.
Yes, And I'm going there in a minute.
Okay.
Time permitting.
And then after that, walks, I don't know if he probably said a few words. I don't know. Probably.
He did.
Okay. And then he just, it's really strange.
Like he's leaving the program.
He just walks out of the room without saying anything to conclude this.
The ceremony wasn't over yet.
Right.
So mid-ceremony, right. Chris says. Go ahead, yes. Chris.
Well, so Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday, in what is being labeled one of the biggest yarns yet from this Biden administration at a White House press briefing, Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that it was planned all along that Biden was going to walk off the stage during a pause in the program because, get this, he wanted to limit his contact with attendees. You know, First Lady Jill Biden has COVID. He's being tested for it. He hasn't tested positive yet. But somehow, some way, we're supposed to believe that he's going to try to limit contact with attendees by walking through the crowd. But nonetheless, I'm not making this up. You can hear what Karine Jean-Pierre claimed yesterday, clip one.
The president took off his mask, as I said he would, to deliver incredibly powerful remarks about this captain, Captain Taylor, and what he did in service to our nation. And he wanted to honor the captain. And for a brief time afterwards, he also didn't have his mask on, as you just laid out. And he left as planned, as it was planned. He left when there was a pause in the program in order to minimize his close contact with attendees who are about to participate in a reception.
When you watch the video, for people that haven't seen the video, he literally walks through a crowd of people, one of which, at least one person of which, was a cabinet member, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. He's trying to limit contact with these people, but he's not wearing a mask. None of this makes sense. This does not hold water, what she's saying.
What do you think the reason was?
I think he just spaced out and didn't realize what he was supposed to do because he keeps talking about how they and them are telling him what to do all the time.
Oh, so you think he just did what some elderly people do who aren't all there.
Yes.
They just start wandering. You think he was just wandering?
I think he just didn't realize at that moment what he was supposed to do.
I think it was like I said yesterday, that ice cream cone wasn't going to eat itself.
So yeah, you think there was ice cream in the bag?
Huh? Oh, look, okay, Chris is all wound up about this, so go ahead and finish what you wanted to say, Chris.
Well, more proof that somebody out there is controlling the president of the United States, because, again, these are not his preferred pronouns, America. He keeps talking about how they and them are telling him to do things. Here, listen to what he says here, where he says, hey, they keep testing me for COVID, and they keep telling me to wear a mask, but don't tell them I took it off when I came out to talk to you people. Clip three.
Hello, everybody. Let me explain to the press. I've been tested again today. I'm clear across the board. But they keep telling me because this has to be 10 days or something, I got to keep wearing it. But don't tell them I didn't have it on when I walked in.
This guy tore Donald Trump apart in the 2020 election over his handling of COVID. And here he's making a mockery of it. And you got reporters in the room laughing about it.
Chris, your voice is really on the rise there.
He was upset this morning when we had our story.
Right. This is
about this.
This administration is lying to us.
He's got his. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, taken in isolation, I would say this is not a big deal. I might even buy the explanation of Karine Jean-Pierre, but when you toss everything else in, this administration lies continually. It's never straight with the American people. Karine Jean-Pierre is one of the worst White House press secretaries I've ever seen in action. And it's all this stuff is continual. Mm-hmm. The kind of spacing out is continual. Half the time when he gets in front of a group and speaks, he can't even find his way off the stage, or he starts to wander in the wrong direction. So taken all together, it adds to the concern that I have that this president is not in control of himself and is not in control of the administration. Right. Somebody else is behind the scenes telling him what to do.
Or it could simply be explained, as you expressed earlier, Ed. It's straight up the ice cream in the back. He saw the ice cream in the back, and he knew that he's the president of the United States. He can get any kind of ice cream, any flavor. Baskin Robbins doesn't hold a candle what he can get.
If he would just say that,
what?
If he would just say, no, the explanation is I wanted ice cream, I would probably applaud.
Right.
I would probably say that's a man who knows what he wants.
Right. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more More of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. afr.net is our website. Hey, if you are traveling and you can't get one of our radio stations, then you can just simply download the AFR app and listen anywhere you go as long as you have high-speed internet. And most all of us do, most places in the country. So just download the app, go to your app store on your phone or your iPad or whatever, AFR app, download it, 60 seconds or so, boom, you can listen to AFR anytime, anywhere.
You know, I just a little side note, how sometimes strange internet reception is in terms of high-speed internet. At our house, we have the fiber optic cable down our street. It is smoking fast, okay? My phone coverage is great. I know it's some of this is distinct. Mm. My phone coverage is great everywhere in the house except my recliner. I'm not kidding. My recliner, my phone, calls fail, and people get, are you there? Are you there? I have to get up out of the recliner and walk 5 feet away, and it's like a dead spot, and it's unfair.
Can I make a suggestion to you there, my friend?
If you're going to make fun of me, let me remind you that we were making fun of Chris today.
Oh, yes. It's okay. Chris. Chris is our sport today. Yeah. Maybe this has already been tried. Rearrange the furniture, maybe?
No, we can't do that.
Maybe it's the material in the chair.
Here, what now?
Maybe it's the material in the chair.
I have a new recliner.
Move your recliner 10 feet and switch it up with the lamp stand.
I can't. This is probably more information than folks. I have a perfect setup. My recliner is right by the window. I have this little half table where I have, you know, I can keep my handgun. I've got a little thing.
Your approach from enemies.
If somebody comes up, I'm like your wife. Yeah. Somebody uninvited comes walking up my.
They're dead.
No, I can. It's perfect. I've got a place for where I plug in my laptop.
Right.
I can. I have enough room for my iPad.
Just that you have poor cell phone coverage.
It's just
right there in that particular spot.
That spot.
I just turn the phone off. That way you're not even frustrated. Just turn the phone off.
I really think you're missing the point here. Anyway, nobody cares who's listening. Nobody
I was
cares
trying to,
me.
You know, have a solution to your problem. I was trying to be a friend right there. Huh? But evidently,
I get
my suggestions don't matter.
I get the impression, Ed, if he leaves the room and you move his pen about 6 inches,
he's going to know it.
He's going to know.
Yeah,
one of those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
He's our resident.
My cough drops laid out right here by my laptop here in the studio. Do not mess with him.
Ed is our monk. If you've ever seen that TV show, what's the guy got? ADD or?
No, he's got some OCD. Yeah,
he may have an ADA.
Let me just say,
ACLU mix.
Maybe I've got a little bit of OCD, but I could quit. I could quit anytime I wanted.
Oh my! All right, you're listening to today's issues. So, was there anything from the last segment we needed to wrap up? Did we finish?
Well, we didn't get Chris's take on the president leaving the.
I think Chris fully expressed himself.
I love this country, and I respect the office of the president. It's the way my dad, who was a veteran, served in the Navy, fought in Vietnam, raised me, as many people can say and share similar stories. But this, what we were told yesterday, had to have been a lie. And I hate that we have people lying to us, and we've got people who are responsible for asking the tough questions to prove that's not true, laughing about it and just going along with it so that way they can continue coming to the cocktail parties.
Tim, why did you bring this up again?
Yes.
Well, you were the one laughing about it, and Chris was trying to tell a serious story.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
I did get a little emotional.
I think we're done with this.
I got beyond the news
guy. Move on to furniture.
I hate it that people are being lied
to. Furniture's arranged in your house, which I brought up. My apologies. Yes. All right, back to the news.
Right.
There's bigger news to talk about.
Well,
From
the current president to the former president, Donald Trump said he would absolutely testify in his own defense as part of one of his four criminal trials. Trump made the stunning admission he is willing to take the stand during an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt. Trump said, among other things, "I look forward to testifying at trial. I'll testify," he told Hewitt. "Because that's just like Russia, Russia, Russia," he said, referring to the investigation of his campaign supposedly colluding with the Kremlin before 2016, which we all know was a bunch of malarkey. Here's the thing, though. Trump says he'll testify, but he did tell Hugh Hewitt that he believes none of the cases will make it that far. He thinks they're all going to be dismissed.
He's delusional.
I think these trials, even if you believe he's completely innocent, the venues, with the exception of Florida, are all hostile to the former president. You have Manhattan, you have Atlanta, Fulton County, Georgia, you have Washington, D.C. Those three are hostile. I think you're right. He's just wrong if he thinks these are going to be, you know, quickly finished.
What, now, maybe this is just public bravado, which Trump is gifted at. But if he thinks these are just going away, these court cases, because he thinks they're illegitimate, I'm not going to get into the illegitimacy or legitimacy of it. They're not going away. And he said yesterday, this is why you're going to have to pay me probably about, if I were a lawyer for Trump, I'd demand probably $100,000 an hour, because he's just a nightmare of a client. Let me tell you why. This is an example. Yesterday, quote, going along, he was on Hugh Hewitt's radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Former president was. Pressed by Hewitt. I'm reading a story here. Pressed by Hewitt on Smith's, that's the prosecutor, classified documents case against Trump. That's the one in Florida, right? In which he is accused, that is Trump, of withholding government secrets after leaving office and not returning them. With Hewitt on the radio, Trump, this is the way this article describes it, Trump grew irate at the repeated line of questioning. This is Hugh Hewitt, who's friendly to Trump. Trump grew irate at the repeated line of questioning over the handling of the sensitive materials, refusing to answer Hewitt's question if he, Trump, ordered anyone to move boxes of documents at his residence. Then this is what Trump said. "I don't talk about anything. You know why? Because I'm allowed to do whatever I want." End of quote. Okay, if you're Trump's lawyer, you don't need him doing a national radio program where he's saying, I can do whatever I want, because that will be used against him
right
in the court. Now, he was talking about the Presidential Records Act. That wasn't a blanket Trump saying, I can do whatever I want, any, you know, whatever. He was talking about, he's talking about the Presidential Records Act allows me to do whatever I want, right? That's what he's going with on the documents case. But it's interesting to me, Hugh Hewitt was asking him about, did you tell people to move the boxes in defiance of the federal court subpoena? And now Trump wouldn't answer that question. He got irate, this says, about it being even being asked. Now, it could be, you could, under normal conditions, you would say, I can't talk about that,
right?
Because that's a court case I'm involved in, and my lawyers have said don't talk publicly about that.
Right.
But Trump's saying, no, I can do whatever I want. And I'm just saying that if Trump keeps doing these kind of public interviews and he can't keep his mouth closed on questions that will be asked by seasoned prosecutors, these aren't fools, okay? These are people, and you're gonna keep talking publicly about your court cases. You're gonna slip up. You're gonna say something that they're gonna use against you. And that's why I'm saying, if I'm his attorney, it would be a condition that he doesn't talk about these cases publicly. But maybe they've told him that and he says, I don't care. I'm going to talk about whatever I want to. I don't care if you're my attorney. Uh-huh. 100, but I'm just saying that if you want to know why Trump has to pay so much for legal fees, he has to hire lawyers that can handle him talking publicly about court cases.
Yep. Well, also, the first part of the story that Chris was talking about, Trump saying he's willing to testify. Now, in the Georgia case, I believe it's going to be televised. That is must-see TV.
If he's testifying.
Mm-hmm. If he's testifying.
You think he's going to testify?
I mean, he said he would testify.
I know he said he would.
Mm-hmm.
I know he said he would. Now, Trump's also gone on record as saying anybody who takes the Fifth Amendment is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Was he saying that about Hillary Clinton? I forgot. He was saying that about somebody back in 16. He said
Lois Lerner or any of those folks, or is that too far back?
He said if you take the Fifth Amendment, you're guilty. Well, he's about to be faced with the choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has to listen to his attorneys.
Well,
it doesn't matter what his opinion is on that, whether if you take the Fifth Amendment, that proves you're guilty. Mm-hmm. He needs to listen to his attorneys.
I found two things here. In 2016, he is quoted as having said, if you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment? However, this, take it with a grain of salt. This is from ABC News, which is owned by Disney, and we all know what they do. In 2022, ABC News had a story out that said Trump says he changed his mind about taking the Fifth.
So yeah,
maybe he has quoted him. Evolved on the issue.
Trump will change his mind depending on.
But you're absolutely right. It's very difficult. He's putting his attorneys in a very difficult position by just doing interviews. I mean, I understand he's in the middle of a campaign, and in my opinion, that's part of why the process, you know, these cases are coming against him, to try to at least stymie that. And he is a talker, and that's part of his appeal to his base. Is he tells it like it is, but I agree with you, Tim. These are not the Manhattan case. I don't know the details. That seems pretty weak to me. But these others have the potential. These other three cases have the potential to be legally very damaging to the president, and he needs to follow the advice of his attorneys.
Listen, I watched his video testimony, President Trump's video testimony. From the sexual assault charge case, what do you call testimony?
Discovery. Are you talking about discovery?
Deposition.
Yeah, it was a deposition.
It was a legal deposition,
mm-hmm.
And President Trump testified, and it's on video. I think you can watch it on the internet. He was terrible because he doesn't. He just lets it fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when you say, "I'm not answering that question," or "Yes or no," or "I don't remember." Go with I don't remember or I don't recall. That's worked for people down through the centuries, right?
Yeah.
No. Trump is on there talking about a sexual assault case, and you know what he says? She's not my type. Well, the jury's sitting there listening to a man talking about whether or not a woman has been sexually violated, and his answer is, she's not my type. In other words, I might sexually assault somebody, but it ain't going to be her. And then he says to the lawyer, Trump says, you either. Huh? You're not my... No, he says, you're not my type either. This is a female lawyer talking to him. I'm saying, that is on video. And then he goes, President Trump, I'm just telling you why he should never take the stand. I don't care. He'd never, ever take the stand. And he says he wants to. Mm-hmm. He says, I know there are children listening, but I'm going to do a 5-second delay. Okay. He's talking. You remember the TV interview where he talks about grabbing people? You remember this?
Right.
That's all I'm going to say. Back in 16?
With Billy Bush.
Well, he's asked about this by this lawyer in this.
This is the civil case.
Yeah, in this case, the lawyer, the female lawyer who I'm talking about, in this case where this woman sued him, remember she won $5 million or whatever? He says, talking about grabbing people, he said, what does he say, Ed?
He was talking about the fact that when you're at a certain level of
you're a celebrity or you're powerful,
that women allow you, I'll leave it there. He says, unfortunately or fortunately,
they allow you to grab them.
Yes. So if he had said only the beginning, and by the way, in a civil trial, there is no Fifth Amendment protection. He had to testify. But if he had clipped it, if he had said, in general, if you're a celebrity,
right,
there are certain women who will allow you to do whatever you want. Unfortunately, that's the way the game is played. That is not harmful to him. But then when you say, or fortunately, that means, hey, sometimes you benefit as a celebrity.
So if you want to know.
That was wrong.
Yes. If you want to know why President Trump was found guilty in that civil case and he had to pay the woman $5 million, even though this was an accusation from, 20, 25 years ago, if you want to know why he was found guilty, is because those jurors were sitting here listening to him say the things that Ed and I have just talked about, and they said, this guy is just callous and probably did this, the way he's talking and acting. So I say all that to say, you're right, Trump's attorneys just absolutely have to say, demand that he not get on the stand anywhere and say anything.
Right.
And he needs to quit doing radio interviews unless he wants to talk about his accomplishments as president.
Right.
Or why he's running or his campaign.
His vision for the future.
His vision for the future. But don't talk about the court cases.
Yeah, you have your media person communicate with Hugh Hewitt or whoever else, their producer, and say, here's what the president will talk about. He will not be discussing the cases, the legal.
He can't. His lawyers say he can't. Do you want to interview him or not?
Right.
And he can't say, but see, then you've got Trump himself going on his own social media platform, calling the special prosecutor deranged, talking about the judges in a personal way. He's basically inviting them to censure him, or what do you call it?
Contempt
of court. In other words,
yeah, I don't know what the law is.
He's sort of egging them to say, put a gag order on him, for example. So I don't know what Trump's lawyers gets paid, but they earn every dollar. That's all I got to say. But he's going out there saying, I will testify. No, he will not. If he listens to his attorney, he's going to come back. Here's what he's going to come back and do. Trump's going to come back and say, I want to testify so bad. You don't know. It's just killing me. But my lawyers won't let me.
Right. No, he has to do that. If he wants to survive this.
Right.
And I have no idea what all the evidence is.
On which one?
On any of the three major cases, the January 6th, the Georgia case, and the Mar-a-Lago He has got to listen to his lawyers, let his lawyers do their job. They're getting paid enough.
Well, you remember about two or three weeks ago, Trump said, I'm having a big press conference and I'm going to show how the election, I'm going to give overwhelming evidence how the election was stolen. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3 days later, he goes, I'm not going to do it. My lawyer said, I'm going to do that in court.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, did you not even talk to your lawyers about something so significant as releasing, quote, overwhelming evidence about the stolen election?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Do you not talk to your lawyers about that? So, I don't know. You talk about loose cannon, LC capitalized, you know, which endears him to many.
Right.
His let it fly.
Yeah.
A personality. But that doesn't work well in a courtroom. I'll tell you that. You get yourself in trouble.
Well, especially with seasoned prosecutors, as you mentioned. These are smart people.
Right.
They've put a lot of people away.
They're five questions away from getting you on a perjury charge.
Yes. Yeah. And they have, it's like people who play chess 10 moves ahead.
Yes.
You think they're giving you their pawn. Well, in reality, they're taking your queen 10 moves down.
And add to that, they are your political enemies.
Yes. And you've got
But he knows that.
Has got to be, like when the Bible says, be as wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove, you have got to be as crafty as your opponents.
Can you imagine Trump getting on the stand and going, I do whatever I want? Huh? Saying something like that. I'll do whatever I want.
I anticipate that the prosecutors will have that quote
that
you just read.
Yeah.
And they will ask, if the president is testifying, they will ask him what he meant with 10 questions down the road, a trap for him.
Yeah. And maybe this is a question for Abe, our attorney. In a court of law like this, if he does, President Trump, take the stand because he wants to tell his side of the story, right?
Right.
Because he's an innocent man, he says. So anybody would want to tell the truth. But if you do that, you don't get to only tell, quote, your side of the story. Do you not then open yourself up for cross-examination?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's the reason you don't take the stand.
That's right. You do not.
A lot of innocent people don't take the stand.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to open themselves up to some kind of trip up.
Right.
Yeah, I think the problem with Mr. Trump is he was a success in the business world with that personality.
Right.
Just bulldoze.
His TV show, You're Fired.
All of that. But what he doesn't understand, he's now entering an environment where he is not in control. The judge is.
The judge is not going to go get his coffee.
No. No. And it's not a bargaining table type thing.
Right.
He's not bargaining with somebody to buy a building or a business.
Right. Negotiating.
There's no art of the deal here.
Right.
These people don't like you to begin with.
Right. A, that's right.
Number two, they'd like you to go to prison. They don't want you to be president again.
Right. Right.
I think in the Georgia case and certainly the D.C. case, I think he's going to have judges that are hostile.
Yes.
And would like nothing better than to humiliate President Trump if he's on the stand. In other words, no, Mr. President. Well, I think technically you call him Mr. Trump when he's out of office.
Right. Mm.
Okay. No, Mr. Trump, you will sit there and be quiet. I'm in charge of this courtroom. That's going to be humiliating, and that's another reason why you do not want to be on the stand and in that
position. And he's going to have to sit in the courtroom for these trials.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Physically,
yeah,
sit in the courtroom for these trials, which, again, you talk about going against somebody's personality, right?
Yeah.
He's used to going and blowing and do what he wants to. Mm-hmm. Guy's very active. Mm-hmm. Golfs every day.
Mm-hmm.
He travels. He speaks.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke, I think, in South Carolina in that heat. He spoke like for 90 minutes. Remember that rally?
Guy's a machine.
So he's a freak of nature, stamina-wise. But he also has a personality that doesn't go along with sitting down in a chair, listening to other people talk. mm-hmm. for hours on end.
Especially up talking about you.
Yes.
He's not going to make it. he's just not going to do it. He's gonna talk out loud.
Oh my goodness.
He better hopes he gets laryngitis.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be reprimanded. Did you say the Georgia case is on TV?
That's what I think Fred said.
There was hearings for a couple of the defendants yesterday.
Him too?
A couple of the other.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And it was all televised.
So you think Trump's will be televised?
I think there's a possibility in the Georgia case. The others, no.
They don't let cameras in federal courtrooms.
No, no.
Why you see sketches.
Yes.
Right.
But if Trump is on TV and he takes a stand.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be worldwide.
No. Goodbye, OJ. Simpson ratings. Mm-hmm. That'll set world records that'll never be broken, right. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But the chances, I say the chances of Trump taking the stand in any of these cases is 1%. You going under 1 or over 1, Ed?
No, I think it's 10%. I'm going to say 10% only because of the force of his personality with his lawyers. I think his lawyers are going to say no, but I
expect... Oh, you mean he overrules his lawyers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 10% chance that Trump says, I know you guys mean well, but I got this.
I think Democrats will bait him. I think they'll say, you're a coward.
Oh.
You're not testifying because you're afraid.
That doesn't work with Trump.
You don't think it does?
No, he's a man that doesn't take the bait like that. Huh? Why are you laughing?
I can't tell if you had tongue in cheek.
No, I'm saying not. Trump will take the bait.
Yeah.
But he won't test
it. But I'll say 10%. He'll because I think his attorneys will beg him. Plead.
Yeah, they'll tell him this to Mr. President. We absolutely cannot let you take the stand, and you're going to have to agree with us on this. Right. And that's all there is to it. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.